This has been a really fun 3 weeks. We have loved having you kids in church with us. Now, we know that you're normally in church, but you're just next door. You don't get to worship with us. And we've really enjoyed having you here. It's been great. Now, let's pray and ask for God to open our minds to understand his word today, okay? Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to get what it is you want to say to us through this Bible story today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, boys and girls, here's the story for today. Jesus and his disciples, how many disciples were there? 12. Were very, very tired. They had had a very hard day the day before. And Jesus, in many ways, was like a rock star in that thousands of people were pressing in on him all the time, and they needed a break. But the only way to get a break was to get in a boat and sail to the opposite side of the lake where nobody knew where they'd be. And they could have a nice quiet meal and have maybe a little afternoon nap, and it would be just what they needed. But wouldn't you know it? Somebody heard that Jesus and the disciples were getting in a boat and going to the other side of the lake, and you know how it goes. They told their friends, and they told their friends, and they told their friends, and before long, everybody emptied out of the towns and villages around the lake and went to the other side of the lake so they could get a chance to see Jesus and maybe touch Jesus and for sure to hear what Jesus had to say. So, Jesus and the disciples got to the other side of the lake, and do you know how many people had gathered there? Any guesses? It's in the thousands. 5,000 people from the nearby towns and villages were there. Oh, the disciples were so disappointed because they were so ready for a break. But Jesus felt compassion for all these people. He felt that they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he thought, well, I'm going to make the best of it. So he had everybody sit down on the side of a mountain, and Jesus began to speak to them. And he spoke all day long, and hardly anybody left. But by supper time, everybody was famished. Do you know what that means? Very, very hungry. Has your stomach ever growled? Yes. And that's when you're very hungry, and the disciples' stomachs were growling, and they went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we've been here all day. We've had nothing to eat. Please send the people home and tell them to go to the nearby villages and buy themselves something to eat. Well, it made sense to them, but it didn't make sense to Jesus. Jesus then gave the disciples a very interesting command. He said to the 12, you feed them. You want us to feed them? You want us to go into the village and buy enough food for 5,000 people? That would be 8 months' wages for a normal man. We have nothing. And then Jesus asked a very important question. He said, well, how much food do you have? And they said, well, we haven't really thought about that. So Jesus sent them into the crowd to find as much food as they had. And so they went into the crowd and they said, do you have any food? No. 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 Do you have any food? Well, is there anybody here who has any food at all? You have some food? Could you come up here for a minute? Very, very nice. Well, do you mind if we give this to Jesus? Okay, thank you. You can go sit back down. Well, let's see what we have here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 loaves and 2 fish. I didn't know they had tuna in the Sea of Galilee. So because of a little boy who was willing to give his lunch and maybe the lunch for his family to Jesus, something really wonderful happened. The Bible says that Jesus took the bread and the fish and he lifted it up and he gave thanks to the Father for it. And then what he did is he took the bread and he broke it. Now, we see Jesus doing that a lot in the Bible. He took the bread and he broke it, and he took the fish and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Now, I can imagine guys like Peter taking a little piece of bread like this and going up to his group of 50 or 100 because Jesus had divided them all into groups and saying, now, here's some bread. This is from Jesus. Go ahead, sweetheart. You can take it. Now take a tiny, tiny little bite and pass it along. Just a very tiny bite. And then away it would go. And here, you take this. That's for your group. And you can take a little bite of that, but just a little bite and pass it on. And then Peter would come back and he would get some more bread and then more. And Jesus just kept giving them more and more and more bread until all 5,000 people were fed and they had 12 baskets left over at the end. How many disciples are there? 12. Very interesting. Dawn, would you come forward and tell us what Jesus might be saying to us from this story, maybe about him and about us too?
Well, actually, Brian and kids, this is a really super interesting story. And you know, when the disciples or when the people originally heard this, it would have been very similar to this, where people way back just after Jesus, they would hear stories about Jesus and they'd be sitting around in their homes or in their around the communities and they'd be listening to it because they couldn't read. Not many people could read, you know. So the stories of Jesus would be told by somebody, and then everybody would listen, and then they'd talk about it, and they'd try to figure it out. And so as the stories went forward, it was very similar to what we're doing this morning. You see, these true stories about Jesus were passed around from community to community. And as they heard them, they would listen, and they would talk about them, and they would figure them out together, figure out what they were meaning, what they meant. Well, this is a very interesting story for many reasons. Did you know that just before Jesus left on the boat, something really, really sad happened? Do you know what happened? Jesus, probably his best friend, and his cousin had died. Jesus, one of Jesus' best friends and his cousin had died. In fact, he'd been killed. And so Jesus was very, very sad, and he was very tired. And so, like Brian said, they realized that they needed a break. They needed to get away from the crowds. And so they got into a boat, and they wanted to go across to the lake, to the other side of the lake, to get away from the crowds. Well, word got out, and somehow the crowd ended up at the shore before Jesus did. And so Jesus gets there, gets out of the boat, and there's this big crowd waiting for him. Well, can you imagine if you're like really, really sad and really, really tired, and you just want to be alone, or at least with some of your best friends, and you want to rest? Don't you think you'd be frustrated by seeing all these people? Don't you think Jesus would tell them all to bug off? To get out of here? I need a rest? Well, Jesus didn't. Jesus felt compassion. Do you know what compassion is? What's compassion? It's when you feel sad or bad deep down in your gut. You know, when you see somebody who's hurting, or when you're hurting yourself, or when you see and you feel a sadness really deep down in your gut. That's what Jesus is feeling. The story says that Jesus felt this about these people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Or somewhere else it says that they were harassed people. They were bugged people. Did you know that most of the people that Jesus were talking to were poor people? And they were almost always being bullied by people who thought that they were smarter, stronger, and better than them. You know, most of the people that Jesus hung out with were people who did not have much money. They were not popular people. And they were not treated very well by others. Jesus sees these people and he feels deep in his gut compassion for them. Well, every week at Mosaic, the church that I'm involved with, we have people that come in who have been bugged and bullied and harassed all week. Like my friend Dave. See, he grew up in a family where he was never really taken care of. Even his own mother and his father did not show much compassion and love towards him. He always fought with his mother and his stepdad. He moved out when he was very young, and he never had close friends or family. Because of all the strife and the pain and the anger that he had, he began to get in trouble by drinking too much alcohol and using drugs, which made his life even worse. Well, when he comes to Mosaic, and he has been coming for about 5 years now, he says that we are the first family that he's ever had. In fact, a couple of months ago, we were all sitting around at a meal together, which he had prepared in our new kitchen for us. He began to cry. He began to cry because he was so overwhelmed with the experience of love and family that he was having. It was both a sad cry and a happy cry. It was a sad cry because his life has been so hard. But it was a happy cry because he had friends and family at Mosaic. Can you imagine a grown man, older than me, almost as old as Brian, that's never experienced love before? Jesus felt great compassion. So even though Jesus was sad and tired, he took all afternoon into the evening to teach and encourage them. It was getting late, as Brian said, and they were far from their homes, and there was no supper, no food was being... Don't you hate it when people are talking and talking and talking, and all you want to do is have lunch? I better hurry up here. So Jesus' closest friends make an obvious suggestion and say, hey, Jesus, tell these guys to go buy some food and get some food before they get too hungry. Jesus says something very strange and surprising. You give them something to eat. Who, me? Yeah, you. They didn't have very much food, as Brian said. Jesus was asking them something that was impossible and it was illogical. Feed all these people, there isn't any food. That's impossible. And that's illogical. That's completely, completely impossible and illogical. Unless Jesus, who is God, does something. What do you have? Well, a couple loaves, 5 loaves, some fish, hand it over. So Jesus takes it, and he gives some instructions, and he prays, and he starts handing out the bread and the fish. Someone takes some and eats it, and then more appears. And they pass it. I mean, just try to imagine. You're eating, and then there's more, and then you hand another basket, and well, there's another basket in your hands. So the food is multiplying. It's amazing. Totally amazing. And you know, it's also very ironic. Do you know what ironic means? Well, let's just say weird. Ironic. You see, many of these people were used to being hungry. They're hungry in their lives. See, even though there should have been enough food in that country, the land was very prosperous, and there was a lot of wealth around, but because of the way the government worked, and because of the way society was, and because of the way the religion worked, and because not many of these people were rich or famous, in their normal lives, even though there was food around, they were very used to being hungry, to not having enough food. That's kind of similar to life today, isn't it? I mean, there's so much food around. What grocery store do your parents shop at? Price Smart. Yeah, Price Smart. That's a good one. We got a new Price Smart by our place. Yeah. What else? What's another grocery store?
Superstore.
Superstore. Superstore. There's one. I mean, is there enough food in Superstore? What was yours?
Safeway.
If you go into a supermarket, is there lots of food? There is tons of food. Seems like miles of food. There's lots of food around in our society. Yet there are people all around, many in downtown Vancouver, who are hungry. So these people were used to being hungry, even though there was prosperity and food in society. Well, here they are in a situation where there isn't any food and there's lots of people. So it's kind of opposite. They're in a big crowd and there's very, very little food. All outward circumstances is that there isn't enough food. Well, Jesus touches it by God, touches it, and it multiplies, and everybody eats fully. It says till they're fully satisfied. Often when Jesus does something, he changes everything. In fact, some people say that Jesus turns everything upside down. I've often thought what it would be like. Can you imagine later on, kids, if you were there for the meal, telling your friends, "You should have seen. There was this guy named Jesus, who had just a little bit of food. And there's hundreds of us. We were all sitting around. We'd been sitting there all day. And Jesus guy takes some bread and he prays and some fish and he hands it out and we eat. I had 3 helpings. It was awesome. Everybody had enough." Even though there was only a tiny bit of food, the kids would have talked about it and told their friends. Well, the adults would have thought about it and talked about it a lot, too. See, they would have recognized what Jesus was doing. As Jesus broke the bread in the wilderness, they would have been reminded of another time when their great-great-grandparents had eaten bread in the wilderness. You see, the people at that time had a lot of stories. They would tell each other stories all the time. Tell stories. Do your parents tell you stories at night sometimes? And read your stories quite often? Yeah. Well, back then, people would always tell lots of stories. But there was one story that was really, really important to this group of people. It was a story about how God had rescued them from a very bad situation by freeing them from a society that harmed them and bullied them all the time. He led them to walk right through the middle of a big lake. Do you remember that story? Where people are, what's that, with Moses? Yeah. They're leaving a bad situation. God parts the water, and they walk right through a big lake into a desert where God provides bread for them, miraculous bread. All of these people who are eating with Jesus would have been reminded about this story, this other story of God's goodness and deliverance. So, as they heard this story, people learned that, number one, Jesus has great compassion. Jesus has great compassion for us. And second of all, Jesus seeks to help and free us from the things in our lives which harm us. And then lastly, before lunch, Jesus takes what we give to him and miraculously uses it to help us and those around us. What do you think would have happened if the kid hadn't given his lunch to Jesus? What do you think would happen? Do you think Jesus could have actually made bread out of rocks or out of leaves or out of trees? He probably could have, right? I mean, he's God, right? He probably could have made food out of rocks and trees. But he chose not to because he wants to work in our lives. He wants to help others. He wants to make the world a better place by taking what we give to him and turning it around to the benefit of everyone. We have a friend at Mosaic, and actually she was in the video with the curly hair, a woman with curly hair. She brings what she has to Mosaic to make Mosaic a better place. She's about my age, but she lives in a foster home because she can't take care of herself. She is sometimes hard to understand. And although she's worked at a job for over 15 years, people often treat her very poorly at work. Well, when she comes to Mosaic, even though she doesn't have much, what she has, she gives. And God uses it for her glory. She cuts up the bread for communion every week. She makes cards and writes poems for people who are sad or her going away. She prays for people whenever she's given the chance. If you come to Mosaic, then, and Tanya is there, then you will not leave without her warm blessing. So kids, and Brian, and adults, as we continue to talk about this true story about Jesus, as we go to lunch and throughout this week and talk about it as a community, I just hope that we'll remember that, first of all, Jesus is really compassionate for us. Second of all, that he seeks to free us from the things in our lives which harm us. And that Jesus will take what we give him and use it for everyone's good. I hope that Pacific Community Church and Mosaic will both learn what that means as we grow as communities. So, thanks.